Well, let's pray, shall we? Lord, who is there like you? Wonderful in every way, Lord, and we just want to say thank you for your great love for us. And Lord, we want to tell you this morning once again, we love you, and Lord, we recognize we depend on you moment by moment. Lord, your word tells us in you we live and move and have our being. You are our giver of life, our sustainer, Lord, and we just bless you today. We can come once again to look at your word, the word that you gave to your people so many years and centuries ago, and yet, Lord, still speaks to us, Lord, today, because it's the word of the living God. I pray you'll bless it to our hearts and help the Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in our lives, Lord, that we may understand, and not only understand, but learn how to apply these things into our lives today. Lord, make us a blessing so that we can be a blessing to others. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at Joshua chapter 21. And again, this is a lot of detail. But hopefully we'll make some good sense out of it. But we're looking at the Levites. Lastly, we've seen in the early chapters how each of the different tribes had their piece of land apportioned to them. When they entered Canaan. And finally, we get to the last group of people who don't have any land at all, the Levites. But they need somewhere to live, and so we're looking at where the towns are. But there's more to it than just finding places to live, of course. The interesting thing about Levi, is what this picture illustrates, is that Levi was originally cursed. Cursed by father, we'll look at that in a moment, but by the grace of God, the descendants of Levi, by the grace of God, they become the worship leaders. That's amazing, isn't it? Can't God do wonderful things with useless stuff? Just as well, isn't it? Look it up! Yes, that's right. Yes. So, that's good. That's good. So, let's have a look at these, how they go along. We want to see how they got cursed in the first place. Here we have old Jacob in bed with the two sons, Simeon and Levi there. And there's a picture also of them going around killing people. And we read this, that Simeon and Levi were cursed by Jacob for their sin. In Genesis 49 we read, Simeon and Levi are brothers. This is Jacob speaking. Their swords are weapons of violence. Let me not enter their council. Let me not join their assembly, for they have killed men in their anger and hamstrung oxen as they pleased. Cursed be their anger, so fierce, and their fury so cruel. I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them in Israel. So that's what the Lord, that was called a blessing, that was. It turns out to be a blessing in one sense, but it was not really pleased about what they'd done. And he says this, because they did something, they've been blessed. They're blessed by God for their stand against idolatry. During the time that Moses was up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, what were they getting up to down below is that they made a golden calf and started worshipping it. And so when Moses comes down, because God says, just look what they've done, they've turned away already, Moses comes down, Moses stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, each man strap a sword to his side, go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother, friend and neighbour. Mm. Well, that's a bit bad, isn't it? Mm. What are they doing? They're dealing with the cancer. There's only one way to deal with it, it's to cut it out. And this people have turned to idolatry, and they, well, not all of them, of course, but the ones that were really into the idolatry of worshipping the golden calf, he says, go through and kill them. Mm. That's pretty brutal. But sometimes brutal things are necessary. And for the purposes that God had for this nation, they've got to be cured of idolatry. So, the Levites did as Moses commanded, and that day about 3,000 of the people died. That's not a lot in terms of the population number, but it's enough for a lesson, isn't it? Idolatry is not what God wants, and you'll pay a heavy price for it. So, that's what they do. The Levites have done that. So they were appointed as a result to the tabernacle ministry. It says, Moses then said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. So they're showing their zeal for God. They are then set apart for the ministry. the Levites to minister at the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, appoint the Levites to be in charge of the tabernacle of the covenant law, over all its furnishings and everything belonging to it. You can read the details about the Levites. They have different jobs. Some do the moving of the tent and so on. Some do the wrapping up and so all of those sort of things. And there's priests as well. So each have their different jobs, but they're all Levites, okay? And something else happened as well because of their stand for the Lord. They were taken as a replacement of the firstborn. Originally, the firstborn that died in Egypt, remember the firstborn of Egypt? God says, the Israelite firstborn are mine. And then when they came out, he said, because of all that had gone wrong with the Israelites, he says, I'm taking the Levites instead of the firstborn to replace them. So in Numbers 3 he says, I've taken the Levites from among the Israelites in place of the first male offspring of every Israelite woman. The Levites are mine. And so he tells them to count the Levites. They were counted separately from the rest of the peoples. The first count was for soldiers, the number of officers that are available for the army. But the Levites are counted from 1 month up and so. So it says here, count the Levites by their families and clans. Count every male a month old or more. The number of all the males a month old or more were counted was 7,500. Question for you to think about. Why didn't they count the newborns? Why did they wait a month before they counted them? It's infant mortality. There was infant mortality around in those days as well. God was blessing them that little ones can die. And so by the time they're a month old, they're likely to survive. That's the point, I guess, was what it was. Anyway, 7,500 Levites for the ministry. And so we look at Levi's descendants. We're coming back to great-great-grandfather. The sons of Levi were called Gershon, Kohath and Merari. Some good names they have, didn't they? I assume Gershon is the oldest one, but Kohath takes the prominent place, as you see, because in the line of Kohath there was a certain man called Aaron, who became the priest in Moses' family. Anyway, Numbers 26 says, these were the Levites who were counted by their clans, through Gershon, the Gershonite clan, through Kohath, the Kohathite clan, and through Merari, the Merarite clan. So from one individual with three sons, we finish up with 7,500. So, and that's just the males, of course. There's the ladies in the family as well, of course. So, let's begin Joshua chapter 21 now. Got the background for Levi. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan. So they go, these heads of the Levite family, they go to Joshua and the leaders at Shiloh. Well, I think, this is my guess, this is it, but the question is, did this take place at the same time as the land distribution to the tribes in chapter 19? You can read chapter 19, same people, same situation, they distribute the tribes, plots of land, and now the Levites turn up at the end of all that and say, what about us? Okay, so they approach. And they say this, they said to them, the Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock. So that's a rather nice pasture there. So basically they don't have any property to inherit, but the towns where they live, they should have some patch of ground for their animals and whatever to look after them. So Moses told them this before in Numbers 35, command the Israelites to give the Levites town to live in from the inheritance of the Israelites will possess, and give them pasture lands around the towns. Then they will have towns to live in and pasture lands for the cattle they own and all their other animals. So there you are, sheep and goats and other creatures as well. Donkeys, got to feed the donkeys as well, haven't we? Okay. They said to them, the Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock. And here I've got you a diagram that sort of makes sense of Numbers 35. It's a difficult passage in some ways, but we've got this here. The pasture lands around the towns that you give to the Levites will extend 1,000 cubits from the town wall. 1,000 cubits, cubits 18 inches to elbow to fingertip, about 18 inches, so you can do your calculations, 1,000 cubits, so on. Around the town there's this patch of ground that's to be set apart for them. 6 of the towns you give to the Levites will be cities of refuge. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all you must give the Levites 48 towns together with their pasture lands. Why do you think the Lord wanted them to have 48 towns? Roughly four in each, as it turns out, yes. 12 tribes, four in each. North, south, east and west, I suppose, yes. So that sorts it, doesn't it? 48 towns for the Levites. And Deuteronomy says this, a really important verse, Deuteronomy 12 verse 19, do not be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in your land. You've not to neglect the Levites. Why not? As you read the history of Israel, the Levites got forgotten quite regularly, sad to say. What was it that was important was, in Numbers 18, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. So when the Israelites brought their gifts to the altar to bring tithes to the Lord, it was the Levites that received them, and it was for them that their property was given, right? So they are supported, the ministry is supported by the people. So you can guess, when the people went off track, what happened to the Levite supply? Dried up. That's the way it worked. So that's why the Lord says, don't neglect the Levites as long as you live in the land. And of course, interestingly, everybody gets to tithe. That's good, isn't it? The people gave to the Levites, and what did the Levites do with what they were given? They tithed that and gave it to the priests. And then the priests, what did they do with that they got? They offered it as a sacrifice to the Lord. So everybody deals in the same way with the Lord. That's the way it works. And I want to make an application to how it works in the present time. Paul the Apostle talked about the ministry should be supported by the people. Did you know that? Right? Ministers should be supported by the people. That's the way it was working. So it says in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 7 to 9, was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel to you, gospel of God to you, free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. Now, Paul's saying something really interesting to the Corinthians, writing to the Corinthians there. He's saying, when I turned up as the minister in Corinth, I didn't ask you for a penny. Do you know why he didn't ask them for a penny? Because people are always ready to say, they're in it for the money. Do you think that about some of these American, you know? Yeah. There's a danger, isn't it? They're in it for the money. So when Paul turned up at Corinth, he says, I didn't ask you for a penny. In fact, I was supported by the other churches. The other churches supported the ministry for what Paul was doing. So when he needed something, the brothers from Macedonia, that's the other churches in that area, they supplied what he needed. But the point being is that the ministry is to be supported by the Lord's people. I just want to say to you, dear people, the Lord bless you. You do well. You know, the church functions well. And I can say this over the years, and Adrian will bear me testimony, we have never owed anybody anything and never been in debt. And the Lord's been good to us. And we're not a massively wealthy congregation, are we, I suppose? But the Lord has provided. And so the Levites, they got their share, and we've been blessed too. As the Lord had commanded the Israelites to give the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their inheritance. The Lord told them to do it, and what did they do? They did it. They were willing to obey God's command, and they were willing to share from their inheritance. Isn't that a good lesson there for you, brothers and sisters? Is it all me, my and mine? Or is it for us, you know, to share together where the Lord enables us and where the Lord prompts us that we support of the things, of the causes for the Lord, yeah? So, Jesus, use me, I want to bless others. Is that your prayer? I hope so. So, we look at the clans now. The Kohathite clan was dealt with in two parts, because there were the priests belonging to Aaron and his family, and then there were another group, just the ordinary Levites. So, we've got 13 towns for the priests, and 10 towns for the other Levites. So, the first lot came out for the Kohathites, clan by clan. The Levites, who were descendants of Aaron, the priest, were allotted 13 towns from the tribes of Judah, Simeon and Benjamin. The rest of Kohath's descendants were allotted 10 towns from the clans of the tribes of Ephraim, Dan and half of Manasseh. Right? It's fair. How do they make sure it's fair? Use the lots. Draw the lots, yes. And so God instructed them to be even fairer than just the lots, because he says the towns that the Levites, that you give the Levites from the land of the Israelites possess, are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many, but few from one that is few. That's fair, isn't it? If you've got a lot of towns, you've got few to spare. That's the way it works in terms of giving, brothers and sisters. The Lord says, as people, as the Lord supplies, we give. Little, you can't give much. Lot, be generous. That's the way it works. Yeah, that's what they did. They split it up according to the number of the towns that were in the different tribal areas. And then we get to the next group of Levites, the Gershonites, we call them. The descendants of Gershon were allotted 13 towns from the clans of the tribe of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and the other half tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. This might all seem like a lot of detail, but there are important things I want to draw out from this. Yeah? So this group of Gershon, they got towns allocated them in the north. As you can see, the arrows pointing to the northern tribes, they get towns up in the north. And then the other group, Merari, the descendants of Merari clan by clan, received 12 towns from the tribes of Reuben, Gad and Zebulun. So they're mostly in the west, beyond the Jordan, where the property of the Israelites was then. So Reuben, Gad and Manasseh and all that lot are over on that side. The Israelites allotted to the Levites these towns with their pasture lands, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. 48 in total. Job done, eh? They did it. So that's what they worked out. Got all these 48 towns to provide for the Levites. Right, now then. Verses 9 to 41 give a detailed list of each of the towns allotted to the Levites. You may be relieved to know we won't read all of the names of the towns. Pronouncing them might be a job sometimes, but the important thing is, it's in the Bible, it's inspired. Someone said this, all scripture is inspired, but not necessarily all of it is equally inspiring. I mean, reading a list of names may be interesting, and if you're an archaeologist, it will be really fascinating, because you track where the places are. But for most of us, the difference between A and B doesn't mean a lot, does it? So we'll leave out the names, if that's all right. If you want to read them, just read chapter 21, verses 9 to 41. But we'll look at just some of the bits of it anyway. From the tribes of Judah and Simeon, they allotted the following towns by name. But the fields and the villages around the city, Hebron, that they had given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. Right, so that Judah gave Levites towns, but one of the towns was Hebron. And you know, Hebron had been given to Caleb. Caleb got that. So Caleb keeps his bit, even though it becomes a Levitical town as well. Now the interesting thing in the detail, as I say, of where all those towns are, the priests, that's the group of belonging to Aaron, the priests' towns are all dotted around the area that eventually becomes the centre of the religious activity, Jerusalem. Now this is long before Jerusalem became the place where the temple was going to be built. Yeah? Long, long before that, God had got the priests in position. Do you think God's good at working things out?
Yes.
In detail. That's what I see there, you know. And you meet that time and again in the Bible, just those little details that you think, what a coincidence. No coincidence. God is working it out. Round the area that it encloses Jerusalem, the priests are positioned in their towns. So the descendants of Aaron, the priest, they gave more towns. And from the tribe of Benjamin, they gave more towns. All the towns for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, were 13, together with their pasture lands. So they have all that area down at the bottom there. And then for the rest of the Kohathites, the clans of the Levites were allotted towns from the tribe of Ephraim, that's just slightly north of Jerusalem. The hill country of Ephraim, they were given more towns. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, they received more towns. And all these 10 towns and their pasture lands were given to the rest of the Kohathite clans. So they are moving up north a little bit there. We'll get there. The Levite clans of Gershonites were given from the half-tribe of Manasseh, 2 towns. From the tribe of Issachar, 4 towns. From the tribe of Asher, 4 towns. From the tribe of Naphtali, 3 towns. And all the towns of Gershonite clans were 13, together with their pasture lands. So that's what you've got. Up north, 13 towns. The Merarites, we're nearly done. The Merarite clans, the rest of the Levites, were given from the tribe of Zebulun, 4 towns, from the tribe of Reuben, 4 towns, from the tribe of Gad, 4 towns. All the towns allotted to the Merarite clans, who were the rest of the Levites, were 12. So if you can add up, well, in case you can't add up, what he does is he adds it up for you. The towns of the Levites in the territory held by the Israelites were 48 in all, together with their pasture lands. Each of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it, and this was true for all these towns. So God had a plan of distributing the towns around the land for the Levites. Why did he scatter the Levites all over the place? Well, it was to fulfill the prophecy of Jacob. They would be scattered in Israel. But there's another reason, is that the Levites are the teachers of the law, as it were. They're the ministers, as we could call them, and God gets them all over the place, so everybody's got access to a Levite. If you want to know what God says, go to the Levites. And God put them close enough so you couldn't say, oh, too far away, can't bother. Yeah, you've got them. Right, so, and I'd just like to say, where's your Levite these days? Hey, don't ask Dennis everything. I would like to suggest your Levite is a little book with pages in it, starting in Genesis and ending in Revelation. Right? You've got access to the Word. But if you've got any real sticky questions, some other person that you think has walked with the Lord a few years, you know? We help each other, don't we? So, anyway, they're all spread around, they're all treated the same, and they're visible to everybody. Everybody can see what the Levites are getting up to. That's one of the other things that James says in his letter. What does James say about those who want to be teachers? He says, not everybody should want to be or be are called to be a teacher. He says, just remember, we who are called to teach will be held more accountable, judged more strictly. Yes, because it's not just what you teach yourself, but you can affect other people. So it's more responsible. So Levites, you're visible to everybody. They're here, there, and everywhere. You can't get away from a Levite, it would seem. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. This verse really is a summary of what the book of Joshua is all about. How the Lord said they could have the land, and then it shows you how the Lord gave them the land. So that's the summary of the book of Joshua. The goal was achieved. They did it. Well, they did it with the Lord's help, of course. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. So, God did what he said, didn't he? They were successful. And they enjoyed the present victory. They settled the land, but there's still more to do. We can see that later on in the book of Joshua, but there's still more to do. But you can enjoy the present victory, can't you? When God blesses you, say thank you at the time. Yeah, don't wait till weeks later. Right, so they enjoyed the present victory, but there was future work to do. So they had this tremendous victory. But I just want to add a little rider to the idea of victory. I mean, if you watch our evangelist friends and so on, what's their definition of success? Private jet, flashy car, big house,
money.
Material, money. That's their definition of success. I'm not saying all of them, but you get that feel sometimes, don't you? Right. Victory, success, is not just about all of that. Let me just ask you what Paul says in Romans 8, verse 35. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What do you think to that? That's amazing. He says success is this. Doing what God wants, pleasing God, and receiving his reward. However it turns out down here, you know, we might face a bit of flack, even persecution and issues like that, he says. But success, victory, is getting through with Jesus. Is that good? Right, brothers, now put it into a different context. It doesn't mean to say you go around smashing everything and destroying everything. This is, the Israelites were called to do that because it was pagan. They were having to deal with that. But, you know, real victory is being faithful to God and knowing His blessing. So, let's move on. None of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. You can write that down in large gold letters. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. Isn't that good news? I've got one promise for you. If you've not done it, you do it. Yeah. Jesus says, all who come unto me, I will never cast out. I'll never turn away. Yeah. That's a promise. He said, you come to me, I'll receive you, I'll forgive you, I'll bless you. And He means it. Wonderful. All of His promises. God is faithful in the detail. He's always paid attention to the detail, just as well, isn't it, really? It's the little things that make the difference. So the Lord fulfilled all His promises. And so, just to wind it up, I just want to look at the Levites as they went on in their future ministry. They had their ups and downs. Sometimes they weren't as faithful as they should have been, but sometimes they were doing really well. And in the time of King David, David gave them a special job at the temple. It says, at that time, David separated the Levites into divisions corresponding to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath and Merari. He got the Levites to do, because the temple wasn't, the tabernacle was now set aside, the temple was the permanent structure, they didn't need to take it up and put it down every day or whatever, so it was a permanent structure, so their job specifications changed. So David laid out, what were the Levites to do now? They were to praise the Lord, worship the Lord, and serve the people, and help them to worship the Lord. That's a good job, isn't it? So that was the future ministry of the Levites in David's day. And let me just take it up to today. Where are the Levites now?
The leaders of the church.
The leaders of the church. Well, you might say that. Let me just give you this verse. It's a verse that can really upset the professionals. Yeah. It can really upset them, and you'll see why. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What a great verse that is, yeah? I love that verse. Yeah. God's special possession, called out of darkness into His marvellous light is one translation. But what's he saying? Who are the people that have been called to be a royal priesthood? All of us. All of us. That's what God said for the nation Israel to start with. You shall be a holy nation. Well, they weren't very holy, some of them. I mean, the Levites did all right, but a lot of them were, they got killed for their idolatry, of course. But Peter's taking that verse and he's applying it to believers now. You, the people, is called the priesthood of all believers. Now I tell you, some professionals get very upset about that. You know, this is our job, our position. We're the superiors, aren't we? No, we're not. Peter talks about himself as a fellow elder, not some Tom, Dick and Harry at the top. You know, Peter and all of us, we're all in it together, brothers and sisters. You're a priest! How about that? And so you're there. What's your priest's job today then? You're called to declare the praises of Him. You've got to worship and you're going to make the light known to others. Yeah. You enjoy His light, let it shine out through you that others can find that as well. So that's the ministry of all believers today. And finally, just back to those Levites, but the same principle applies for us. There are privileges to being a Levite. Did you know that? But there are responsibilities and sacrifices to being a Levite too. What was the sacrifice the Levites had to make? They didn't have any inheritance in the land. What's your inheritance, you fellow Levites?
Heaven.
It better be. Your earthly property is going to leave you one day. Or you're going to leave it. Right? Our earthly stuff, thank God for it. I'm not decrying God's material blessings. No, I've no problem with that. Yeah? But just remember, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. So our inheritance is somewhere else. Right. So no inheritance here. Stuff comes, stuff goes. But the Lord was their inheritance. Have you got the Lord?
Yeah.
You've got the Lord, you have got everything, ultimately. So the Lord's, the blessing, the no inheritance is the sacrifice you make. And Jesus says the same to his people. He says this, this is my final verse for you, yes? It's a call by Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And what's the next bit of the verse say? For you will find rest for your souls. Yeah. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That's Jesus. And he's saying is, you work with me, you follow me, you join with me, right, and learn from me, and you'll find out you're functioning as you're meant to be. God wants you to work with him. Right? He's not wanting you to set up your little ideas and your little jobs and ask God to say, that's okay. It doesn't work that way. You get your ideas from God first. Take my yoke. And what's Jesus' yoke? It's to be humble. It's to recognize that he's the one that calls the shots. He, you know, when you put two oxen together, which is what the idea is, you know, you have this your oxen yoked together. You generally put a younger ox with an older one. Right? Why do you put the older one in? Because he knows what he's doing. Right? Right? You learn from that one, and the younger one learns the ropes so that later on they can do the same job. That's what Jesus is saying. He knows how to do it. How to live for God in this world. Follow Jesus, and you can't go wrong. So take his yoke upon you, learn from him. He's gentle and humble in heart. He's not a nasty boss, good eh? And you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray. Bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness in every way. Lord, that we, like the Levites, Lord, should have inherited a curse. But Lord, we've got a blessing by your grace. Lord, that we can serve you. We can bring our worship and our praises. We can speak of your love and minister to others as a result of your working in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of those Levites, as hard as it was for them, Lord. Lord, may there be times when we find it difficult to be faithful, but help us by your grace to stand true to you in this dark and sad world. Lord, we bless you for all your provision for us, but we thank you we have an inheritance that's stored for us in glory. Lord, thank you for all your mercies to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.